Hey, what's up, guys? This is BJ from Life Moves Pretty Fast, reminding you to go online and follow us on all of our social media sites for updates on new episodes, new guests, and information about our amazing new podcast network, A Modern Profession. Find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Periscope at LMPF Podcast, Facebook at Life Moves Pretty Fast, and email us whatever the hell you want at lmpfpodcast@gmail.com. Now, if you go online and you can't find us, it's on you now. Thank you guys so much for listening and enjoy the show.
Three gorillas were in their habitat this afternoon when a four-year-old boy climbed through a small opening and fell roughly 10 feet into the enclosure.
A child has fallen into the gorilla cage.
Harambe, a male that just turned 17 years old yesterday, according to the zoo's website, picked up the boy who was splashing in the moat.
Mommy's right here.
Who's done?
Oh my God! Oh my God!
There's a zoo worker.
And so the choice was made to put down or shoot Harambe. It's a sad day all the way around. The right choice was made. It was a difficult choice. We have protocols and procedures. We do drills with our dangerous animal response team. But we've never had a situation like this.
I said it before and I'll say it again. Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while. You could miss it.
All right, everyone. Let's get started. This is going to be a very emotional, I feel, Mike, episode.
I would say emotional. You know, probably more than our Yabro comments, I would say.
Yeah. Much more emotional than our Chicksboro episode. But as you guys just heard, that is a video clip. This week we are going to be talking very, very, very in depth about something that has, for me, I have been through, and it's so funny because Tim said it last week, talking about the gay men's chorus, but I have been through an absolute roller coaster of emotions. I have been angry. I have been furious. I have been sad. I have been judgmental. It was a really, really rough day at the Cincinnati Zoo.
So yeah, they had a tough day.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about Harambe. I'm sure there's not a person listening that doesn't know what happened, but a brief synopsis is a couple days ago, a four-year-old boy fell into the enclosure of the lowland gorillas at the Cincinnati Zoo, and after 10 minutes of crisis teams and zookeepers and zoo officials, unfortunately, Harambe was shot and killed to protect the four-year-old boy. This is something that has easily affected and devastated the entire zoological world, myself included. I'm sure, Mike, you feel horrible about this.
Yep.
And anyone who doesn't, turn the podcast off because you don't have a heart.
Yeah, just... You know, this is one of those things where I think everybody has a feeling, mm-hmm. and everyone is affected one way or another, and we'll get into it. But you know, whether you blame this person or that person or this person or this system, everybody falls someplace, and I think that's what makes this story additionally unique.
Yeah. I mean, when I first heard the news, I was immediately furious at the mother. I was literally, I was at work and I was just furious. I was like, how the fuck can this mother not watch her kid when she's at a zoo and let him climb in and go into a gorilla enclosure and yada, yada, yada. And I was just furious at this lady.
Me too. That was my first reaction as well.
Yeah. And you know, once you hear more, we'll get to our second and third reactions.
But yeah, sure. that was my initial reaction.
Yeah. So I think that where we both sit right now in the whole situation, and this is something that I think that you and I have a genuine opinion on, like a very valid professional stance on. It's not just like we have an opinion and we're just like, oh, well, they should have done this. Like you and I have both, you work now in a zoological facility to where your life is at risk every single day. And you are in charge of keeping the guests. You're in charge of their lives as well. I don't anymore. I used to work at a sanctuary. We've talked about before with large cats, large carnivores, bears, wolves, tigers, lions, mountain lions, even chimps worked there, or chimps were there. So overall, it's just a huge blow to the Cincinnati Zoo family, to the zoological family, to just everybody around. So our first and foremost, our sympathies go out to anyone at the Cincinnati Zoo, because this is a horrible, horrible thing.
Yeah, definitely. I couldn't imagine being, you know, responsible for the care and well-being and enrichment of the gorillas, of any animal, and having to make that decision to take one out. I mean, it's terrifying to me. Mm-hmm. This whole entire story is that. I mean, that's the only word that I can come up with that makes any sense, is terrifying.
And there's really only one silver lining, which is, you know, thank God that 4-year-old boy's okay.
The kid is okay.
The kid is okay.
Yeah. But the aftermath has just begun. I mean, everything that happened in those 10 minutes, things will not stop. Possibly forever. I mean, there could be, they're talking about making laws now about what happened. And it's, you know, we'll get into that, but it's very disconcerting.
And I find it kind of weird, only because of the fact that this is not the first time that this has happened before.
Right.
20 years ago at the Brookfield Zoo, a child fell in to a gorilla enclosure. The female gorilla kept all the other gorillas back and ended up putting the baby, picking up the baby and putting him right in front of the door where the keepers come out.
That was what, in the early 90s, the mid 90s?
Yeah, right around mid 90s-ish. Also, it happened, I believe, in England again as well. You know, so it has happened before. And this is just a horrible week. Well, I guess now probably 2 weeks. Horrible 2 weeks for zoos around the world, because not only did this happened at the Cincinnati Zoo, but also at the Palm Beach Zoo. Unfortunately, a keeper, Stacy Conweiser, was working with her Malayan tigers and was cleaning out a night den. I don't know the situation exactly on how it happened, whether locks weren't checked or whatnot. But
a Malayan tiger
got in with her, and unfortunately, he killed her.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a bummer.
So I want to talk about, Mike, what is happening with it, and also going forward. What is your opinion on going forward? I mean, we don't really work with gorillas, so we can't have an opinion on the video on whether or not the gorilla was protecting the boy, whether he wanted to kill the boy. I mean, the video looks pretty rough, and he was dragging him around like a son of a bitch. So I think the right call was absolutely made. I will stand by that 1,000%.
Yeah, I think we both agree that they made the right call. I mentioned, you and I, BJ, have been talking about this for a couple days now.
Right. And just so everybody knows too, sorry, we're doing this podcast. Mike couldn't come over to record, so we have to do it through Skype.
Yeah, we wanted Reznor, to do this a couple nights ago. I have not been able to meet BJ face to face, and I won't be able to meet him face to face in a couple nights. But we definitely, I mean, we're both so heated about this conversation.
Yeah, we had to. I'm like, dude, I can't wait.
We got to get some shit on tape.
Yeah. Like, I can probably meet next Tuesday. I'm like, fuck no, we're doing it through Skype. I need to get this.
It is way
out.
Too late. I'm going to calm down by then. I got this rage built up, and we got to go. We got to go, man.
By then, we'll just blow through the story. But now, yeah, let's talk about it while we're good and heated.
Yeah, well, America will be on, you know, moved on to its next abomination by that point, and Gorilla Gate, as they're calling it.
Yeah, we'll be right back to Trump.
Yeah, we'll be back to Trump.
Right back to Trump, just a couple
which
days.
Which I miss the good old Trump days. Oh, remember that last week? Trump, how great that was?
Yeah, right? The good old days? Oh, I remember when I was a young boy and I'd watch CNN and there he was, the Don. Donald Trump actually commented on it.
What did he say? I didn't see that.
I mean, he was very vague, but he was just kind of like... he just said basically said that they made the right call. He said a 4-year-old boy was in danger. They made the right call.
I would talk to the gorilla I would tell him, leave that boy alone. I'm Donald Trump. I'll make sure that you're taken care of. And by the way, we're going to build this wall higher so no more babies can get
in. Here's the deal, Mike.
Get in.
Here's the deal, Mike. We've talked about the impressions. We've talked about this before.
I'm working on them.
You're working on them, but your Donald Trump sounds like a horrible Ted Kennedy. I want to say to the gorilla.
I feel like I'm doing Colin Quinn doing Ted Kennedy doing Donald Trump.
Well, that's a lot of degrees to an impression. Equally as horrible.
But dude, come on. Who else is in that category? I nailed it. I mean, if you think about it.
If you were going for Colin Quinn doing an impression of what was it? Of Ted Kennedy
of
doing
Ted
an impression
Kennedy
of Donald
doing
Trump.
Doing an impression of Donald Trump.
Then you know what? Maybe you did.
Thank you.
Maybe I'm just wrong.
You. I appreciate a little GD respect around here.
Maybe Harambe shouldn't have been shot. Okay, stop it. Stop joking. Let's get serious here. No more impressions because I'm going to go off on Dan. I'm going to get angry at you.
Well, we should all be angry at Trump. I mean, that's
right.
That's a different topic, but it's Trump's fault I can't do a... Can't do a good impression of him.
Yeah. So let's start from the beginning. You are a whale trainer at SeaWorld. I have worked with large carnivores. All of them are, I don't know what you classify them as. Are orcas class one mammals?
I think, yeah. I mean, they're the alpha animal of the ocean. So yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, class one as far as dangerous goes.
Yeah, there is no animal higher than them. So
right. So gorillas, chimps, tigers, lions, bears, orcas, anything like that, class one. So if you work with class one mammals, you're basically working with the biggest, the baddest, the most dangerous animals on the planet.
Now, potentially, yes.
Potentially, yeah. I mean, they're all dangerous.
Yes, absolutely.
In their own right. So with that comes safety precautions. You got to run drills on what happens if you just play out a crazy situations to where what happens if a tiger gets out or what happens if one of your gates doesn't lock or what happens if a trainer falls in the pool or what happens. You know what I mean? There's a million different situations you got to play out to where the staff will run drills.
And we have standard operating procedures for everything. We have drills for everything. I mean, you name it, we have practiced it.
Yeah. So with that being said, in the beginning of when the baby fell into Harambe's enclosure, they went through their protocol, 110%. Mm-hmm. They called the two females in. The two females came in running. So they ran in. Two females were off exhibit, leaving him with
a recall. A recall. I mean, that is something that is practiced every single day, almost every session, and it is highly reinforced just for this type of situation.
Sure.
If you need the animals to go somewhere right now, that's what we practice.
That's basically saying that the trainer needs to be more reinforcing than whatever the hell is in the pool or whatever the hell is on exhibit or
correct.
Whatever it is. So
right.
I don't care what that weird thing is. Like, I know I'm going to get whatever I want over here.
Yeah, there is something over here that I want more than that.
Yeah.
And,
nothing's going to take me off of it.
Right.
But that didn't happen with Harambe. Apparently, he thought the boy was a little too reinforcing, and he definitely displayed it by dragging his ass around that moat.
Yeah, but I mean, he did drag him around. A lot of the video also did kind of look like Harambe was kind of protecting him. Now, I don't know if that's exactly what he was thinking. He could have been thinking, like, you know, that could have been a possessive behavior too. I don't know. I don't work with gorillas.
Sure. In my opinion, working with any I personally don't feel, like I said, we are not experts. These are just our opinions of the, I mean, I've been working with animals for 15 years. You're at how many?
10.
10?
Yeah.
You know, I don't feel that it was a protecting thing. I think if anything, it wasn't protecting the child because it was a child. It was protecting something that he wanted and nobody else was going to fucking take it from him.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if that is what is in his mind, yeah, there's no way anyone's going to get it from him. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I actually counted and I watched the video over and over and over again. And he did the initial drag. He grabbed the kid when he was in the corner, dragged him to the edge of the moat. And then a little bit later, there is an extended video to where he dragged him to the top part of the exhibit. And he dragged this kid probably close to 60 yards in 6 seconds.
Wow.
Just dragged him by his foot, and the kid was just eating dust the whole way up.
Yeah. Not good.
No.
I mean, talk about a stressful 10 minutes.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you a question, Mike. Why didn't they use tranquilizers?
Here's what I'm going to say is...
I'm just going through all the arguments that people are having right now.
Here's, if you use a tranquilizer, it doesn't... It's not like the movie Old School, where Will Ferrell hits himself with the tranquilizer and all of a sudden he's drowning in the pool. It doesn't happen like that. It Mm-mm. takes a really long time for those to set in. I don't know about you, Beach, but if I get hit with a needle at all of those miles an hour and it's going to hurt.
And you're already agitated.
And you're already agitated. You're already pumped up. Your blood, your adrenaline is already going. When my adrenaline's going, I don't even really feel that drunk, honestly. Like I like my wedding, I can't tell you how many beers I had so much. I didn't feel a thing. So it didn't work for me.
Right.
The other thing is that gorillas, primates, they have opposable thumbs. And unlike a sea lion or even a lion or a tiger, gorillas can actually grab that dart and pull it the fuck out. So now you've shot this thing with a dart to try to tranquilize it.
That's like the equivalent.
And it has the potential of pulling it out. Now it's not even working. You have the potential of this animal being very aggressive and displacing that on
a 4-year-old child.
In this case,
who he could literally crush his skull with one hand.
It would be no problem.
It's pretty much tranking him is the equivalent to like you not letting Rez take a nap, so he's grumpy and cranky all day, and then when you just finally had it and you're ready to tell him to go to bed, he runs up to you and just punches you in the dick.
Which happened a few nights ago.
Did it really? Did you get a little agitated?
Agitated? Yeah. I said, go to bed. And he was and he was like, yeah, okay, great.
Did you drag him by his foot really fast down the hallway?
No, I actually
you should have
tonight. I put him 50 yards out up the street. Got a nice little one of those darts with the red feathers on the back,
mm-hmm.
and just tranked him.
Yeah, did you do like I would have blow darted?
Well, that's how we're on the air tonight. Is he's getting some sleep?
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, he'll be out for the next 45 minutes.
right when we end.
Then he'll be ready to play in the bug again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway,
to answer your question, that is why everybody, a tranquilizer will not work.
No. And I have.
It just won't.
Yeah. I have tranquilized large mammals, lions. I'm trying to think what other. I've definitely tranquilized lions before. It doesn't. It's not a quick thing, it takes a long time to do it. For it to actually take effect.
It's not just this magic sleeping pill
Yeah.
where you can you know.
Sure.
Kylo Ren does to What's-Her-Face in The Force Awakens. Like, you just can't put things to sleep like that. It doesn't work.
Yeah. So with that being said, tranquilizing was not enough.
If it did work, we wouldn't be talking about this.
Oh, sure. No, absolutely. Yeah. Then it would have been a very quick, like, oh, shit, did you see that kid fall in? Oh, good. Mm-hmm. Glad he's all right. Gorilla 2.
Yeah. And then back to, you know, something else Jimmy Fallon did on The Tonight Show.
Yeah. But with that, you know, there are safety protocols. There are contingency plans. There are specialized class one mammal dart teams. And, you know, they are trained and they are highly trained. And they run these drills constantly, but they're trained for these kinds of situations. And they have to make the choice, human over animal. Now, here's where I think it might get a little wonky for some of the listeners. The reason why I think that it was such a big deal for Harambe is because he was a gorilla.
Yes.
If it was a cat, if it was tiger, lion, anything, not a question. A, the kid would have already been dead. But there's no question. Put a fucking bullet in it.
Right.
And that just happened in Chile. A guy was suicidal, stripped naked, jumped into the enclosure to kill himself, and they shot both the lions without thinking twice. So now two lions are dead.
Right. Remind me and to come just, back that to just, that, because yeah. I have a question for you about that scenario. But finish your thought and remind me to come back to it.
Sure. But no, I mean, you know, they have these people that are highly trained to make these split-second decisions. I told the story, I think, in the episode with BJ about when... you know, I was working at the weigh station and then the lion woke up early from anesthesia and then, you know, we darted him again. We darted him because he was groggy already. So it wouldn't have taken long to put another dart in him and just, you know, knock him out. But if he was out and loose, you best fucking believe that we would be walking through the area with obviously a vet and a shotgun or a vet and a dart gun, but we would be having a shotgun with us as well. Because that's just what it is. So you have to take human life over animal life. And everyone wants to break the mother's balls. And yes, the mother slipped and she fucked up royally. And it almost cost her kids' life.
Yeah. Well, can I elaborate on that part?
Oh,
please. As long as we're talking about the mom or do you have...
Yeah, no, let's go. Well, did you want to ask the question that you wanted before?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so...
And then we'll definitely get into the mom.
Yeah. Well, we'll certainly get into the parenting. You've worked with big cats.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
As a keeper,
they do not discriminate.
No,
I mean everybody's fair game, right? Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
There's not a buddy.
There are a few exceptions, but
if you're a trainer and you raise the cats, then yes, of course. Then once you go out, you can probably, like we said, do a recall and get it in working situation. But there's times when a cat. It'll turn, and there's no way around it. But as
look at Siegfried and Roy, that situation. I mean, those guys had been raising and working with those cats their entire lives, and I mean, it just happens.
Yeah, but I don't believe that was an attack. If it was an attack, he would have been friggin'. There's no way around it.
Yeah,
if they want to kill you, you're done in a split second.
So this guy that stripped off all his clothes and was attempting suicide,
mm-hmm.
And you know the keepers had to put both animals down, and I don't remember did the guy end up making it?
Yeah, he lived.
He lived. Mm-hmm. Okay, so his attempt didn't even work, and now we have two dead cats.
Two dead cats.
Do you think that because this guy attempted suicide, and he was a man, and there were obviously a lot of other ways to attempt suicide? I mean, if you're really that into it, start the car in the garage. I wouldn't pick two giant cats to rip me apart.
No, that's probably not. It's a ballsy way.
But my question for you is, why is there so much outrage about the gorilla?
About Harambe instead of
these two cats. I understand that it was, you know, a child, which is horrendous. It's a gorilla, which is horrendous. It's an endangered species. That is awful. This gorilla was supposed to be a breeder, one of their main breeders coming up in a few years. That's sad. Now we're losing an entire gene pool. these two cats I don't really know much about.
Well, it was in Chile, but
yeah, in
but
Chile.
even the Malayan tiger from Palm Beach Zoo, he didn't get killed. He killed his trainer, and they didn't kill the tiger. They darted him, and then now he's back out. So
she was already dead by that point, though, right?
Yes, she was already dead.
Yeah, so I mean, is there? There's no real point in killing the animal at that point.
Sure. Here's my thought, and the difference between a gorilla and any other animal. I had a very, very amazing experience. One of my friends used to be a supervisor for the gorillas at the San Diego Zoo. So I went and saw him and visited him, and he took me back in the back area where to see the gorillas that were off exhibit. I got within 3 feet away from a silverback gorilla. It was without a doubt, and it was protected contact, not free contact. They don't just let gorillas run around all willy-nilly in the back area of the zoo.
Yes, of course, yeah.
It was without a doubt the most intimidating thing I have ever seen in my entire life. And it was intimidating for a lot of reasons. Because when I was there and I would see them, it was easy to see human life. It was
inside their eyes.
Inside their eyes, inside their posture,
inside their
language. Because
they share so many genetics with us.
You could see.
Oh, go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, no, but you can just see it. It is ridiculously comparable to human life.
So do you think it's a little bit anthropomorphic? And for those of you who don't know what that means, look it up. Is it anthropomorphic for us to then say, why is this a bigger deal instead of the cats?
Well, because gorillas aren't known as predators. They're not, you don't hear many crazy stories. You hear stories, anything you hear about gorillas, you're going to hear stories of compassion. You're going to hear stories of, like we said at the Brookfield Zoo, the gorilla picked up the baby and put it right in front of the door and got all the other gorillas away to go and allow the keepers to pull the baby in and save his life. Like, that is a very genuine reaction. And that's a human reaction.
And that goes back all the way even to movies like King Kong, where they bring this gorilla to New York, and he's a beast and he's a savage. And suddenly you see this relationship that he has with this woman, and yet they still kill him.
Yeah.
So, that's the first kind of, actually, honestly, now that I'm thinking about it, one of the first times I think I really connected with wild animals was watching something like King Kong. It was like, wow, these animals can express, not feelings, because that's anthropomorphic too, but you can have
No,
these types of things.
Apes 110% absolutely express feelings, and we're going to get into that when we talk about Coco in a little bit. But they can absolutely express feelings.
Yeah,
and so if you,
which is why
it's
glad
very
you
humanized.
Had some experience with them.
Well, no, I'd never with apes. Never with apes. I worked in a sanctuary that had chimps, and to be honest with you, I would take any tiger, lion. I don't care if a fucking 1,100-pound grizzly bear got out. Uh-huh. And they sound the alarm and go, "Someone's Montana's out." And I'd be like, "All right, I know what to do. Safety protocol, guys. Get into an enclosure. Get into an empty one. Lock the gate. Everything's going to be fine." If the alarm goes off and they say freaking Billy the Chimp is out, I'm like, uh-oh. Motherfucker, go, go, go.
You are sprinting for the car at that point.
Oh, no. And it's not all of them, but chimps are assholes.
Yeah,
a lot of them.
I have definitely heard that.
But they're, like I said, I see the same things, or I saw the same things in chimps. I saw compassion. I saw all that stuff. And the best part about it is that when you take any ape, and I compare it to people because people are even worse nowadays. When you take an ape like a gorilla or a chimp, there is zero bullshit. There's no lying in them. You know what I mean? There's no lying in their eyes. There's no lying in their posture. There's no lying in their intentions. If they want to be your friend, then it's like, yeah, man, I'll be your friend. And if they don't want to be your friend and they want to kill you, then they will let you know. Yeah,
they make
man,
you know it.
You come near me, I'm going to fucking kill you.
Yeah.
And just their sheer size is, 4 of my fingers held up was the size of one gorilla finger. So when I got to go and have that experience, which was beautiful, you know, I just saw the size of it, and you just feel so incredibly small. Like, mm-hmm. you can feel small next to a lion, but if you're near and that close to a gorilla that is that smart and that human-like, you're just like, Jesus Christ, like that is.
Well, it is definitely my son's favorite exhibit at the zoo, and I have told my wife several times, when I retire, when I become that guy mm-hmm. who just has nothing to do, I'm gonna go to the gorilla exhibit.
You're gonna be the old guy that just like sits there and just like draws gorillas.
And the Timberland boots, and I'm just gonna be talking about who's on display and why.
You're gonna know all their backstories.
Pissing off the employees there that are like trying to actually do their job.
Dude, I fucking hate those guys. I hate those guys so much.
I do too. I hate those guys so much. But that's gonna be me. I'm gonna be the one that's like, oh, looks like we got I don't know Simba out there, out to, you know, today. Yeah. And you should have seen him yesterday. Oh boy, he had a crush on one of those. I'm gonna be that guy.
Oh my God,
I love the gorillas. That exhibit at the San Diego Zoo is incredible.
It's fucking gorgeous. It's really really good.
And so, with, you know, it adds to the rage that you and I have felt over this topic.
Yeah, which is people and there have been protests. It was semi-peaceful protests outside of the Cincinnati Zoo. And there were signs and quotes on many, many news sites from animal protesters saying, great, another animal dead from a zoo.
Mm-hmm.
Which
sucks.
It boils my blood so bad because, like you said earlier, the lowland gorillas are they are critically endangered. They are poached constantly for bushmeat. They are trapped in snares. They are gunned down in Rwanda, Uganda, all over.
Well, and their land is farmed for bullshit things like palm oil, and it really is scary what we are doing so that we can have some snacks.
Yeah, and it's very likely that gorillas in our lifetime will become extinct.
So Extremely likely.
Yeah. So you take a gorilla.
As soon as some of these animals, like the northern rhino, started peeling off, it was kind of like, okay, well, I mean, here we go. Here comes the start of it.
Yeah. So you take an animal who is easily one of the most gorgeous gorillas I've ever seen, just from all the pictures I saw, and even just his posture on the video. He was beautiful.
That was a good-looking boy right there, that gorilla.
17 years old, just celebrated, the day before, celebrated his 17th birthday.
Yeah, and hadn't even burned off the...
Yeah. So to have him get... Yet. Oh, sorry, we keep like talking and it's like cutting in and out. It's weird to do this through Skype.
It is kind of weird, yeah. I would much rather be doing it face-to-face.
Yeah, me too. But whatever. What are you going to do?
Hey, life moves fast, right?
Yeah.
That's our show.
Yeah. So overall, it's just devastating for the species, the zoo, everyone that he got killed. Now,
I do want to talk go back to the blame on the mother.
I was just going to say, that's why I said now. Let's talk about the mother.
That was my first thought too, which was, listen, come on, you gotta keep an eye on your kids, right? This is stupid. What an idiot.
Hold on.
What kind of lame ass person leaves their kid alone for 10 seconds? Hang on, where did Reznor go? Rez, hang on. What? Okay, you're right there? Okay, hang on. I'm gonna go back to Facebook and read more about this post. All right, so here's some comments. Okay, now he's on the other side of the playground. What? How did he get over there? So my whole thing was when I heard people blaming the mom, and the dad wasn't there, from my understanding. Yeah, how do you let your child go, you know, go out of your sight for that long? Mm-hmm. Apparently, she had six kids with her. Four of them were hers. It was five.
I believe it was five.
Okay. Yeah. I do not have the stat sheet in front of me. So, thank you for clarifying that. Regardless, if you have one child, you should be watching it, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the first rule of parenting, is keeping an eye on your child. That being said, I have been in a scenario where Reznor's just gone. He's gone. Where did he go? I looked at the sunset. I was talking to a stranger at the playground. I was, buying stuff at Home Depot, and he left the cart. It really does not take very long for something like that to happen.
No, not at all.
Now, I mean, kids can vanish so fast. I did read a story where I heard that the little boy asked, "Can I go swimming with the gorilla?" And in which case, if Reznor said that to me, if Reznor said, "Daddy, I really want to go and play with those elephants," when I am near the elephant enclosure exhibit, I'm going to be watching him a little bit tighter.
Okay, devil's advocate.
Go ahead.
If Reznor said, let's take it from the exact situation in which it was presented to Michelle Gregg, you're at the zoo with Reznor, and Reznor says, "Daddy, I want to swim with the gorillas." Are you really going to fucking take him seriously? Or are you going to be like, "Okay, son, whatever"?
Not at all. Yeah, that's where I was going to head next. Is he? God damn. He says that he wants everything. I see something he needs it right now, and he can't live without it. I don't really take everything that he says that seriously. If he says, "I want to go swimming with the gorillas,"
dude, hold on. Your connection's super bad right now.
Shit, really?
Yeah. Please. All right, okay. So we're back. Sorry, there were a couple little technical hiccups. We left off at, Rez can easily get away from you.
He can, and yeah, I mean, it really doesn't take long. I'm not excusing her behavior, her negligence, if you will. I do not think, though, that they need to be getting death threats on Facebook kinds of social media and on CNN. And she does not deserve that at all. She had, I mean, one kid is hard enough to take care of, let alone five or however many she had with her.
And however many kids she had with her isn't the question. My sister has four kids.
Right.
And I have seen my sister out in public. She is very vigilant about watching her kids. I think that's probably the right word, right?
Yeah.
About watching her kids. She is very hands-on and active, and she displays very good parenting skills in the sense that she has conversations with her kids. She doesn't parent, and I don't want to... doesn't quote-unquote parent, and like, "I'm the mom, you're the child, you have to listen to me." She has conversations with them, and she will give them consequences if they don't listen to her. She is very, very good. She is an incredible
parent. She's more of a leader than a parent.
Yes, and she allows them to make their own decisions, but the kids realize that there's consequences if they make the wrong one. Now, with that being said, I have gone out. I've been to zoos with my sister. I've been to zoos with my sister and my brother with seven kids total. I have seen my sister exhausted and just beat to shit if, you know, you have Reznor, and if Reznor's having a bad day, like, you're like, "Oh, shit, like, I'm exhausted." And I'm not saying my sister is a better parent than you. I'm just saying, like, just times that by four. If all four of her kids are having a bad day, you know what I mean? Like, I've seen her beat to shit before, and just, it's so easy for that to happen.
Totally.
It is so easy for that to happen. If you have four or five kids, yeah, maybe you should probably pay more attention to the four-year-old than the 12-year-old, but it's so easy. So I sympathize with Michelle Gregg in that sense. And just like you said about getting the death threats and all of that stuff, I mean, she put out a statement on Facebook and to news outlets. It was extremely well-worded. It was extremely sincere. It was apologetical. She basically just said, "You know, I'm not a bad mother. Like, I just made a mistake."
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the consequence is horrible.
The two words that made people upset in her statement were "accidents happen."
Mm-hmm.
And I think that set a lot of people off.
Yes.
Because this was, this was
makes
an
her,
accident.
It makes her sound like she's not taking any blame for what happened to Harambe.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Sure.
But, I mean, the hateful stuff going towards the mom, I mean, and people even said, too, because during the video, I mean, that if you guys saw it or listened to it in the beginning of the episode, you know, she was saying, like, "Mommy's here, mommy loves you." Like, she was and then when they dragged her son, she was like screaming, and as well as everyone was, because that was a horrifying thing to see. But she was trying her best to keep calm, but people were playing it off like, oh, well, she doesn't even care. She's just like, you know, whatever. I'm like, no, she's trying to keep her fucking kid calm so he doesn't start screaming and going crazy. Like, I think as a mother, she played it off very well.
Yeah.
Now, I slipped up last night, big time, and, you know, through all of the blackfish stuff that we have been through and any animal rights activist bullshit that we've listened to for the last however many years, 4 years, 3 years. I took the bait last night on someone. I took the bait and decided to have what I thought would be a educated conversation. Not an argument.
You're on Facebook, didn't you?
Damn it, I did.
Oh, no.
So
that's the first rule of Fight Club, man.
That is the first rule.
Idiots on Facebook don't listen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I did, and the argument was with the girl who does amazing animal work. She does amazing animal work. She does runs a pit bull rescue. She's a great dog trainer. She is crazy about pit bulls, and all the work she does, I cannot stand behind her any more than I do. However, she made the argument that my pit bull is my son, and if he went into the gorilla enclosure, I sure as shit would go in after him.
Mm-hmm.
And I pretty much, that's when I lost my shit. Like, not in a bad way. I tried to word it as best as I could, but I was like, then you would be dead too? Like,
yeah.
Now take that back to today. There was a scenario presented on Facebook, which I actually thought about, and I was like, fuck, that's actually kind of a genuinely smart thing. Kid falls in, right?
Right.
Mom had better go in after him. Okay. Mom goes in.
This is your scenario.
No. This is the situation that was presented to me that I thought was like, oh shit, that's actually pretty smart. Kid goes in. All right. Mom goes in. So obviously they're dealing with the situation right now. Same thing is happening. There's people in the gorilla enclosure. They call out the crisis team, the DART team, whatever team needs to go out there. Mom gets between the gorilla and the baby. If the gorilla kills the mother, if the gorilla kills the mother, then they shoot the gorilla on sight because he was attacking a person. But if nothing happens and they're both alive, then that's that. Does that make sense? So the mother basically is jumping in the middle for her fuck up.
Right.
Does that make sense?
But now she's dead and she has four kids.
But her son is.
She is now orphaned.
But her son is alive. Because her the son second, is alive. But the second the gorilla kills the mother, they shoot the gorilla. They shoot Harambe, and now the kid is alive. Because in the whole situation, nobody knew if the boy was going to survive.
And that's the scariest thing about it was the unknown. Yep. I mean, and how many cameras were on that scenario? We just talked about it a little earlier. That animal could have pulled that kid's limbs off and played him like a xylophone. I mean, it would have been very, very easy.
I was going to say entertaining.
How horrifying that would have been to see.
Mike didn't get that. There was a cut out.
I didn't see. What'd you say?
I said right when you said that would have been very easy, I cut in with entertaining.
Like an old Disney cartoon.
Right. Okay, so this is going back to the mother. And this is going to put a bow on it for me. If you have more to say, by all means, please go. This is where and we've talked about social media and how things get misconstrued and how basically I don't like, I'm not a fan of the America that we live in right now for a lot of reasons.
That's why I'm going to make
God damn
America
it,
great again, BJ. I need your vote. That was good, right?
That was a perfect JFK back in 63. Gonna go to Dallas.
Oh.
Me right, and so Governor,
don't like, you don't
me
like
Governor
our country
Connolly.
Right now, and Facebook is
okay.
Live.
So, okay. So I saw something put up to where now everything's getting blasted and it's getting racist. They put up a picture of Michelle Gregg and her, I don't know if it's husband, boyfriend, whoever. And they decided to put up the boyfriend's arrest record and how they're completely unfit parents and how he's been to jail, so they should need to get prosecuted and all of this shit. And it has nothing to do with the case at hand.
Right. Yeah, nothing. They so just wanted to discredit their character.
It's basically just saying, oh, look, another black criminal with 5 kids. And because of that, a gorilla is dead. Is that a little strong? Is that a little strong?
I would say that's coming on a little bit aggressive.
Well, no, that's what everyone else is. Yeah, aggressive on my end or aggressive on their end?
On their end, of course. That's the world that we live in, is that you can anonymously say whatever the F you want, and you don't have to be held accountable for those things. So you can say that this guy was arrested when he was 19 for knocking over a liquor store, their parent 20 years later.
Right.
Like, that's character defamation at its worst. I mean, that's like, you know, that's like saying I had to retake my psychology class, and that therefore makes me a poor animal trainer.
Yeah,
I mean, that doesn't apply.
Yeah, it doesn't compute.
I am a poor animal trainer for many other reasons,
right,
other than that.
So okay, so here's a question. All right, and I think this will kind of start to wrap things up a little bit. What can you do, or what can people do to help? I mean, obviously we talked about, gorillas being critically endangered, you know, conservation, different stuff like that. Now I'm very conflicted on this, because I am the one who hates the armchair activist. I hate them. I feel that they just sit there and judge other people's hard work for the sake of something that they know absolutely nothing about.
Yeah.
but then again, in this situation, I don't do anything for gorilla conservation or gorilla research. I don't. So are we being armchair activists now, in the sense that we're allowed to state our opinion?
I think we kind of are. I mean, you and I are not demanding anything be done. So I don't think that.
The only thing I have demanded from this episode is that you stop your impressions.
BJ, listen, when I'm president of this country, that I have the best policy for gorilla safety you've ever seen.
That was better. That was a better Trump. Okay, now we're getting somewhere. You're getting there.
I'm telling you, I just needed to practice.
We'll do it for the 1 year show. We're going to get a solid Trump.
Get a solid Trump out of me.
We'll get one from you yet. So what can people do?
And daily, my opinion has changed on this entire thing. Last night when we were talking, you know, I was telling you how management needs to be held accountable for this, because if a 21-year-old decides he wants to jump into an enclosure, be that gorillas, elephants, tigers, killer whales, whatever it is, they are going to figure out a way to make that happen.
There's no way around it.
There's no way around it.
That has
you
been
cannot put up enough gates or enough fences or enough electrified anything to keep somebody out.
And that
they desperately want in.
Yeah, and that in part is what makes zoos so incredible, is the fact that 100 years ago, Dr. Wegeford at the San Diego Zoo was the one who created the cageless zoo, the cageless enclosure, and he built a moat, and the moat became the staple of zoological facilities around the world. So it lets you see, it's somewhat of a natural habitat, but it lets you see them, you know what I mean? To where it doesn't look so captive and caged. I don't like I don't like the word cage. Unless you're transferring an animal, I will never use the word cage.
Right. My problem with what happened in Cincinnati was that a 4-year-old was able to bypass everything.
Mm-hmm. It's not difficult. Go to any zoo, man. I tell you what, how often do you go to the zoo with Rez?
often.
Okay. Actually. Next time you go, yeah. Go to every single enclosure you go to, look and see how it's set up, and then say, could Rez get into it if I lost him for 2 minutes?
Well, I guarantee you it's probably too late, because I promise you every bigwig at the zoo has gone to every single exhibit in the last 24 to 36 hours and figured out someone could get in here, someone could get in here, someone could get in here. And they are currently working on figuring out how to stop that. But I guess my point was, I have never been to the Cincinnati Zoo. I don't know every single feature of this gorilla exhibit. I have asked renovated 32 years ago. I don't know how true that is. It's just something I heard.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I don't even know if we can call for the heads of the supervisors and the management of this gorilla encounter. All I can really confirm without a shadow of a doubt is that this was a tremendously tragic situation on all sides.
Oh, sure.
And that you had to weigh life of an animal and
animal life or human life.
How do you make that decision?
And that's the only reason.
Who's the person that says, no pun intended, who's the one that pulls the trigger on that decision? You have a 17-year-old critically endangered, healthy, thriving, enriched animal, or a 4-year-old who fell into his exhibit.
Well, that's the decision of
the team.
How
do you weigh
that? Well, yeah, I mean, that's what they're trained to do. And I don't know the exact name of their team, but basically the dangerous animal situation team, I guess we'll call them.
They should have tranked him. He would have been fine.
He should have totally been tranked. Okay.
And you and I, yeah. we talked about it earlier. We both agree that they made the right decision on saving the human life, of course.
Mm-hmm.
It does not excuse the fact that a beautiful life was also lost. And that, I mean, everything just sucks.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess as far as like what people can do to help, I mean, I have a weird obsession sometimes to where I just get into a funk to where I can't sleep, so I'll just stay up super late at night and just watch YouTube videos all the time, just over and over and over and over, just different mm-hmm. animal videos, animal training videos, different animal shows, whatever. So over the years, I've come across a couple people who have done amazing, amazing work for gorillas, both in captivity and in the wild. I just want to give you guys a couple people to just look up. If you get bored and you're curious about gorillas, they're one of the most fascinating creatures I have ever seen. I don't even know how to put it. Like one of the most fascinating creatures I've ever seen just in general, like their brilliance and their understanding and their emotions and all of it. It is ridiculously human-like. So if you look up Damien Aspinall, he has a foundation in England. He actually is one of the only people in the world who actually still goes in to a full free contact, goes in to the enclosure with a whole family of gorillas. He is incredible. He has done amazing things for gorillas all over the world. And then this one, Mike, I gave you a little homework project.
Mm-hmm.
And told you to look up Coco the gorilla. Now I'm very curious to see what you thought about what you thought about Coco.
Coco was a pretty incredible video to watch. I mean, to be able to communicate with an animal like that would be pretty special. I mean, the fact that they have that ability, I mean, that's uncanny.
Yeah,
I think that's my only gripe with Coco is that it spawned the idea for a book called Congo by Michael Crichton, which was awful.
Which was the worst movie
ever. It was his worst book, and it spawned the worst movie of his books. Don't go see Congo.
Is it still in theaters?
Yeah. Go see Civil War.
Amy, again. Want re-release. No, to those of you who don't know, and go to YouTube and watch this, Coco the gorilla is a 45-year-old gorilla that has been under the care of Dr. Penny Patterson, who was a doctor from Stanford University, ever since Coco was a year old, or a year and a half old. She knows over 1,100 different sign languages, and she has full-blown conversations with Dr. Patterson, as specific as, I mean, she doesn't use consonants like "I want to eat a banana," you know, it'll be like "eat banana," but she is extremely specific in what she wants, what she says, but not only that, her emotions. And one of the most interesting things that I saw with Coco was, it was probably in the mid 90s, or maybe even a little bit later than that. Robin Williams went to go and visit her. They have a sanctuary up in Northern California, which is where Coco is still. So Robin Williams went up to visit her because he's from the Bay Area. Mm-hmm. And they spent a lot of time together, and they had conversations, and they laughed. And, you know, she told him to, like, tickle her, and so he'd, like, chase her around, like, tickling her. And this is a big-ass 350-pound female gorilla, 45 years old.
Yep.
And so through the years after that, like, you know, Dr. Patterson would let her watch movies, and so she liked to watch, like, Flubber, which is, out of all the Robin Williams movies, Flubber's not the right one to choose. But,
pretty smart gorilla, huh?
Yeah, pretty smart gorilla.
I mean, has she...
You couldn't watch Dead Poets Society?
Seen Hook, bro?
Yeah. Well, Coco doesn't know how to sign "Oh, Captain, My Captain."
It's not one of her little words.
No. So, Dr. Patterson, there's a video of it too, broke the news to Coco that Robin Williams died. And
yes,
she told Coco Robin Williams died, and Coco was signing "sad, bad, sad, cry," and then she started crying. If you want to call that an animal, I mean, by all means, go for it. But you can't look at something like that and not wonder. You know what I mean? Like, not wonder why crazy, atrocious shit is happening to them in the wild. I think she's amazing. Like, you know, I don't know. What did you think?
There's obviously a lot that we have to learn about these guys. And, you know, whether you're pro or anti zoo, I think definitely one of the things that we can learn about these animals, you know, most animals, is studying them and being around them and having relationships with them. And this event in Cincinnati, I really hope, does not boost the animal activist movement, in that, you know, if we decide to go no animals in a zoological or aquarium facility, we're going to lose that. If
everything will be gone.
Coco was not around. If Coco was not around to interact with what was the doctor's name again?
Dr. Patterson. Penny Patterson.
Dr. Patterson, we may never have known that gorillas can communicate on that type of level. Sure.
They would have just been big beasts. You know? Look at Diane Fossey.
Oh, yeah.
Diane Fossey gave her life. Like, she was murdered because she was trying to stop bush people from hunting gorillas.
Yeah. And I mean that kind of stuff is critical, I think, for the future. I mean, it sounds cliche, but it is. So, I don't know.
Diane Fossey gave her life, but we got this podcast. We're doing our part, guys.
Doing our part. Yeah. You asked what is next? And what can we do? The first one is watch your kids.
Yeah.
as much as you possibly can.
And watch your kids. Watch your wife. Watch your gorilla. Because they're killing everybody out here.
I think the other is just have an understanding of the power that these animals have, and how that we need to best be able to protect that.
And you know, it's okay to question zoos and aquariums. By all means, question.
Oh, sure.
But if you're going to question them, ask your questions to the right person.
And
if you have a question, if you have a question about what's, you know, if you're curious about SeaWorld and you kind of agree with SeaWorld, but you kind of don't, and you're on the fence, they do conservation, but then again, orcas should, you know, be in the wild. By all means, man, send Mike a message.
I have no problem answering questions about our whales.
Ask questions, but ask the right people.
Yeah, I get the dorsal fin question probably 3 times a day.
Oh, why are their dorsal fins curved?
Two of those people, I mean, those people have a genuine question, a genuine actual concern about why is this happening. One of those people will listen and say, oh, got it. The other person will say, oh, because I heard X, Y, and Z. The third person is the person that I get pissed about every single day, which is, no, that's not right. The answer that you're providing me is not my preconceived notion of why the dorsal fins curve. Therefore, you're full of shit, and so is SeaWorld.
And SeaWorld is lying.
Right. Person scares me. And it's so it's kind of like a two-thirds ratio of maniacs out there who are just not willing to understand and listen to people.
Sure. But you know what, though? I mean, if you think about it, I mean, what we do, I mean, we can only do what we do. We can only fill our heart with so much love for our job and the passion for all of the animals that we work with. And that's all that we can do. And my love has grown a lot stronger for going out and educating people on stuff. I mean, I work with shelter animals, so educating people on, you know, adopting pets from shelters. But at the end of the day, yeah, I mean, it sucks that you have that one person. But if you think about it, Mike, like, out of the three people, one of them is going to be genuinely impressed. One of them's going to be like, oh, okay. And then the other one's going to say, no, you're wrong.
I am happy about the two-thirds.
Don't even worry about the two-thirds. Just look about the opposite end of the one-third that you're worried about. Like, maybe that's a person that you are taking the time to talk to and educate, and maybe that person might be the next Damien Aspinall, Diane Fossey, Jack Hanna, Jeff Corwin. By the way, Jeff Corwin was fucking incredible with his message about Harambe.
Yeah, he did. He nailed it.
Yeah. So that's the kind of things that I think, you know, maybe that everyone needs to focus on is just finding, because we're getting drilled, man. I mean, they're coming at us. So we just got to find the good in every single little situation.
Yeah, they've got us in a corner and they're not letting up. And I feel like just continue to just throw my hands up and say, look, I will talk to you. I will speak to you and I will tell you absolute truths. I am not part of this giant cog. I am not part of this evil empire. You want to hear answers, I'll give them to you. And it's frustrating because it's not working. And I feel this entire thing in Cincinnati is going to be part of that.
Another log on the fire.
And it's depressing.
And that's
incredibly depressing.
Yeah,
it brings me back to this whole the whole fucking thing is just incredibly tragic.
Yeah,
and nobody is really to blame. Nobody is right.
Nobody is wrong.
And it's just a really shitty situation.
Yeah, and unfortunately, yeah. No's are a lot louder than yeses in this industry.
Oh yeah, I mean yeah, there's definitely. Many voices for no, and any yay votes come down as you're a shill, you're a paid participant, right. You are an idiot, you know, all that kind of stuff.
You're brainwashed, so
yeah.
All right, well,
so
yeah.
Well, hey, we brought the laughs tonight, huh?
Yeah, we did. We really brought the fucking ha-has here to LMPF Radio. Jesus.
We're gonna be climbing those comedy charts after this episode.
I know. I can't wait. We gotta get a new category because I think we're slowly slipping out of comedy.
Between infertility a few weeks ago to right. animal death, here we go, ladies and gentlemen.
Infertility in Harambe. Oh shit.
Yeah. Anyway.
All right, man. Well,
hey, you know what? The thing is, though, you and I are both very passionate about this, and I know that we both have really wanted to talk about it. So it's been nice. I mean, arguably, it's just been nice therapy to talk to you about it for the last hour.
No, absolutely. I definitely couldn't have waited until Tuesday to kind of just get all my thoughts out, and especially to hear your thoughts. I was a lot more curious about your thoughts with what you do, and you know, those thoughts have to be going through your head every day. Like it's kind of
every
hard.
Single
you
day.
Really, you what, really can't
what
have
would
a bad
happen
day
if this happens. On my shift, that I think about that every single day, and that's why I think I told you the other night I lost sleep about this because I kept thinking, what if this happens? What if I'm forced to take out one of my animals who I have a relationship with, who I love almost more than anything?
Mm-hmm.
But what life is more important? And that's a fucking scary question.
Yeah, I mean, for the organization, for whatever facility, zoological facility you work for, I mean, they will always say that the human life is more important than animal life. But
and
sometimes,
yes,
I do
agree with that.
Yeah, but I was going to say, but sometimes, you know, some trainers or some people won't necessarily always have that opinion. So, which is why they leave it to specialized teams and have in you know very intricate safety protocols and
the DART squad.
The DART squad. What was it? Dangerous animal. Rescue team?
Something, yeah. Sounds right.
Yeah. Come up with I'm going to come up with like DART team t-shirts.
Sounds like the next
probably
Marvel
not,
movie.
Yeah, probably not big. Probably not going to be big hits.
Nah, we won't sell many of those shirts, I don't think.
All right, fella. I'm gonna close it out by saying I'm not a fan of doing Skype, so let's not do this again. But I don't like it either.
I'm glad we got a recording in. So, yeah. I'm glad this one's over.
Yeah. So I apologize to anyone for the quality or the choppiness or whatnot, but
sorry, Mom.
We had to get Sorry, Miss Biz. but we had to get it out and off our chest. So thank you guys so much for listening. I think the overall word that we can leave with this entire situation is just sadness, right?
We're sad.
Just sad. So
it sucks.
Yeah. So all right, everyone.
Until
next week, I am BJ McGevely.
Mike Bissett.
And this has been Life Moves.
Pretty.
See, now you're just being an asshole.
Now I'm doing it on purpose.
All right.
Bye, everybody.
Zoos aren't your babysitter. Take a break from the cell phone and the selfie stick and the texting. Connect with your children and be responsible for your children. I don't think this happened in seconds or minutes. I think this took time for this kid, this little boy, to find himself in that situation. And ultimately, it's the gorilla that's paid that price. Also remember that this gorilla is incredibly endangered. They are on the precipice of extinction. No amount of money or biology or science can ever bring back what was lost with the death of this gorilla.